Blog Talk Radio.
The North American Wrestling Connection, bringing you great wrestling discussion since 2007. Sanctioned by
the new general manager for Raw, Mike Adamly.
How you doing, Dave?
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the 101st episode of the North American Wrestling Connection. I am Robert Seidelman, and it's too fucking hot here in Washington! God! 104?
100? Yeah.
Yo!
What?
Dude! Damn, man!
Man!
You
took our weather!
Take Wednesday's rain, please, that way you don't have to relive that.
You'll probably stink worse than a Miz match. I'm sorry.
Ooh!
Oh!
No.
The correct answer would be you stink more than a Randy Orton match.
Whoa. Okay.
Winner.
All right. So
no.
Actually,
that
no,
may be still too light.
No. I forgot. The correct answer this week is you stink more than Dutch Mantel's booking.
Oh.
That's the correct answer.
That's awesome.
Wow. Here we
That's
go.
That's awesome.
All right, let's get started with the show. First of all, we have Michael Davies' drinking partner, Jason Block.
I would like to thank the WWE bookers this week for putting on a pay-per-view quality match on TV, John Morrison versus Jeff Hardy. Thank you, thank you, thank you. That was 10 tons of awesome.
Then finally, the next up, we have Larry Sweeney's personal guardian angel, staff boy Josh Henniger.
Nice.
We have the beautiful people's personal massage therapist, Typho.
As a lifelong citizen of the state of Texas, your 104 day gets no sympathy from me.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
Wow.
Sounds like winner.
That is a win.
Yeah, that is a winner. And I guess
what
I cut that off at just the right time.
What the heck? What?
That was me burping.
Good,
yeah,
but your timing was impeccable.
Yeah. Wow.
You know, you
next
ha-
up.
Okay.
Oh, next up, we have. Yeah, we're only 3 minutes into the show.
Yeah.
Next up, we have Joe Girardi's personal. I take that back. We have the person to take over Omar Minaya's job pretty soon. VRM.
First things first. No. I'm a Yankees fan, not a Mets fan. Get out. Second, I'm in a bad mood because I kind of crashed my car on Wednesday.
What?
I'm fine. I'm fine, but the car is totaled. They have $10,000 worth of damage.
Oh!
But it's comparable.
Holy
crap. Wow. What the hell were you riding with, the Iron Sheik? Give me a break.
No, he had Edge for a driver.
Oh,
ooh.
In the
and... And then, finally, we have the baby oil provider to John Morrison, Nikki Haymon.
Just because they were nice enough to put him on, they made it so nice they had to air him twice on Thursday, and once again on Friday. Thank you, WWE, for allowing me to see that many abs in that short of time.
And now while Nikki Haymon oogles at her edge picture, one minus pants and everything else,
what?
Let's talk about Night of Champions.
We're going over Night of Champions, yep.
Yeah, that's first, and here to provide that information of Night of Champions, we turn it over to the poor soul that is VRM.
Yes, poor soul indeed is me. Thankfully, it can be fixed. Anyway, we start the show off with the tag team titles match. So Legacy comes out. Then Jericho comes out, does a little promo. They do a little Edge promo about the whole thing with it, the whole situation with Edge. And then we find out who Jericho's partner is. It wasn't Kozlov. It wasn't Swagger.
Damn.
It wasn't Regal. It wasn't Dolph.
Thank God.
It certainly wasn't Christian.
Shame.
And it wasn't Chris Masters, although he would come in the next night.
I want half credit for at least getting his return within about 23 hours.
Well, you know what? That's not bad. But okay.
All right. One other player, and we have the driver of the Iron Sheik, Carl Chenier.
Oh, God.
Oh, and by the way, I talked over... Don't fuck up on me now, switchboard.
Uh-oh.
Thank God.
Okay.
Oh, by the way, Typho, I went to the judges about your suggestion, and the answer is...
I see Chuck Norris isn't on my board over there.
Yeah.
How?
So, anyway, who was Jericho's partner?
Will.
Out of left field comes the Big Show.
Well, it's a big slow.
Who is wearing?
I thought it was time for a piss break. What? What now?
And also, he looks so svelte in his new, well, semi-slimming.
He ripped off Vader.
I thought he
ripped off
Mark Henry.
He knows.
He looks horrible. Okay.
He looks like an oversized Mr. Perfect.
Yeah. And this was just a very bad booking decision, if you ask me. Really bad.
I don't know.
Give it time. It's only happened a week.
Once show came out, it was pretty much foregone conclusion. Jericho and show retain the titles.
And the match pretty much sucked, right?
Well, what do you expect?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, points to everybody except for Josh.
Hey! What did I say before the show?
I know.
Dad.
Okay.
Alright, let's keep it civil, ladies and gentlemen. We don't want another Forbes situation to happen.
Nope.
Yep.
Don't worry, that won't
I
happen.
I talked to Forbes. Apparently what happened with him is that he had a bad day, and it's sort of just... He just sort of lost it. I don't remember exactly what it was he said. He talked about it at the start of Typho's show, so.
That was pretty much what he said.
Yeah.
Well, what he needs to do, whatever it is to apologize to Mr. Seidelman in person. That's what he needs to do.
Yeah.
Off air. And okay, no beer summit, no anything like that. Just talk about like men, and then we'll do what we need to do. That's it. Next match.
Throw him back in room 101.
No, he's permanently locked into room 101.
Ah, go on, VRM.
After that,
moving
pretending
on.
To host the show, he did a couple of months ago. Oh. He's locked in.
Okay, next match, please.
Moving on, ECW title match. This was a pretty good match. Of course, now because of what happened to me this week, I've forgotten most of the details of it.
Christian beat Dreamer, correct?
Correct. Yeah. Christian defeats Tommy to become a two-time ECW champion. Points to Rob, Jason, and Typho.
Yeah!
Nice.
Moving on to the six-pack challenge for the U.S. title. Well, first off, we got to replace Show, so who's going to replace Show? Well, it's going to be Primo, because we have to keep the Carlito-Primo feud going. However, no one picked him, and no one picked him, and for good reason. Anyway, the ending of the match was sort of just whoever gets in the ring, you hit him. And that continued on until finally Carlito hit Primo with a backstabber. And then from out of nowhere, there's a little trouble in Carlito's paradise. 1, 2, 3, Kofi Kingston retains the U.S. title.
Mm-hmm.
Points to myself, Nikki, and Josh for that one.
Josh
is on the board.
Ta-da.
And already out the picture.
Oh.
Next up, I went to the bathroom. Women's title match.
I think everybody went to the bathroom.
First of two matches that night.
So anyway, Rob, Nikki, myself, and Josh all took the half point on this.
Because we're all smart.
Well, Typho and Carl were smarter because they picked Michelle McCool and they got it right.
Uh-huh.
Of course, you can't beat McCool Berg. She just mows down the competition. Unstoppable.
Just don't care for Michelle Mittaker.
Truth hurts.
Now we come to the match that would basically
by the way, what happened to me? Did I lose?
You picked Melina.
Oh, good God. What the fuck was I thinking? Anyway.
You're so reeling from
the wrong head there, Jason.
Wow.
Jesus Christ, we're snarky punch tonight.
Thank you very much.
Do we need that parental advisory back?
Maybe.
I like that one. I still like the parental advisory.
Thank you.
Due to some violent content, parental discretion is advised.
Beautiful.
Actual physical
contact.
Yes. Love it.
Okay, on to the match that would decide basically the entire night and the match that we're still saying, the WWE Championship match.
Yep.
Okay. Skipping over most of the match because it doesn't matter. We go to
the end matters.
We go to the end of the match. So Triple H locks Orton into the sharpshooter. While that's going on, Cena locks in the crossface.
It was kind of a little bit of both. And somewhere there was a snaggletooth grin.
Ooh.
But I won't go there.
Please don't.
And as a result of this, two submission holds being applied. Orton taps, and the ref just stands there.
Huh? Your effing ref, Mike Chioda, is confused? I'm going to shoot him.
What an idiot you are.
Just award both of them the win of the match, and then make him face him off at SummerSlam.
Yeah.
Yes!
Decision. However, after Orton's tapping for about 10 seconds, Legacy comes out. They attack Triple H and Cena, knock Triple H out of the ring. Cena picks up Cody for the FU, or the Attitude Adjuster, if you care to call it that. I still call it the FU.
The FU, yeah.
But going for the victory.
Picks him up for the FU as the sacrificial lamb. RKO, 1, 2, 3.
Yay.
Hold on. I got the correct sound to play for that.
Whoa!
Yeah.
Oh,
exactly.
Because I don't know if the ending of the match was planned like that or not. It was just stupid, fucked up booking.
Yeah, in
so
more ways than one.
To the judges,
I'll take the former.
Decision, and they've decided that it is going to stand as called. Orton wins with Cena being pinned. Carl gets a point for
not giving a shit.
Yeah. Rob and Jason each get a point for picking the winner. And Nikki and Josh take the full 2 points out of the match for the winner and the proper results.
Not two words. Whatever. Reconciliation.
See, if I would have picked what I wanted to win, I would have got it right.
Jerry show.
Yeah. But moving on, Jason, to the not Jason, VRM, to the other bathroom break match.
Yeah, moving on to the other mat and the other women's match, the Divas Championship match, to the and evaluating her career.
Oh. This has to be played for that match.
Why? What's that? The breaking news.
Yes, because of that match and what happened, Maryse lost the title to Mickie James. However, that's not the major story, and normally when you think that she'd be healthy and she'd have a rematch at SummerSlam. However, that is not the cause. She tweeted directly after the pay-per-view that she had she suffered an injury in the case of a broken nail. Unfortunately, that nail ran to her leg.
Well, she had been, if I remember correctly, working with an injured kneecap since December, correct?
Yeah, thanks to
the
fellow.
Yes, that is correct.
Okay. So she had surgery on that kneecap this week, correct?
Yeah, she's out until Survivor Series.
Okay.
I heard it's only a few weeks.
No, it's 3 months.
Not a few months.
Yeah, I saw 3 months.
Huh. Okay.
Well, anyway, everyone picked Mickey. Everyone gets a point.
Yes.
Yay.
Yeah.
Okay, now to the match that would decide the fate of the belt. Going into the match, Rob has 4.5 points. Nikki has 5.5. If depending on the outcome of this match, either Rob and Nikki shared a belt, or Nikki has sole possession. Intercontinental title match.
Oh.
It was an okay match, in my opinion. And Ray wins. And Nikki does a dance.
Whoa! Hey! Okay, now why is that a fail?
Because I picked Dolph and I was an idiot.
Oh, you were aiming that fail at yourself. I'm sorry.
Yes, he is aiming the fail at himself because that means no matter what happens, you are the Fizzleweight champion.
And now we go to the World Heavyweight title match.
Which we all failed at. Thank you very much.
Yeah, that deserves a monster fail.
Please.
Monster fail? Okay.
Yeah.
Yep. Hi, Sparky.
Good Sparky.
Yes. Nice kiss. No, I'm sorry. Wrong person. Anyway.
Jesus Christ.
Down. Sick. Heel.
Down.
Yes,
No. I'm the only one that can control Sparky. Sparky, control. Good.
There you go.
That's what I get for letting him watch episodes.
Anyway, so Hardy kicks out of the GTS, hits the Twist of Fate and the Swanton. 1, 2, 3. Jeff Hardy is the new World Heavyweight Champion, as we all
at the very least.
Here's the interesting sort of dichotomy in this. Rumor is that he's working through SummerSlam. Now, do you really think, let's play logic for a moment here, that they would put the belt on Jeff if he hasn't re-signed?
Yes.
You really believe
that? Yeah.
I don't.
Yeah.
Their
desperate attempt to get him to re-sign.
Exactly.
Oh, come on.
To please don't leave titty title run.
WCW did with Benoit in January.
No.
Sold
no.
out. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Do you really believe that? Nikki, do you
believe
that? Yes and no, because Hardy is saying, I'm burnt out, I need time off, I want to get my head back on straight. Vince opens the door and listens to 10,000 shrieking fangirls and another 5,000 males who want to be him, as well as the women want to have him.
Well, I also know
any other
face
on SmackDown right now that is getting that big of a reaction?
John Morrison?
No,
not quite.
Not even close. Not even close. And the deal
Rey Mysterio?
No, not even that close.
Mysterio
doesn't have the women.
See, here's the deal. Hardy is the number one face. They need him there, as we'll find out momentarily when I give some statistics that were put out on PW Insider this week. Oh, shush.
I might shush for the whole segment because I disagree, but that's okay.
Okay.
All right. So, thank God.
Okay.
So, tied for last place are myself and Rob with 4.5.
That seems to be my normal position for the pick'em. So, however, it didn't damper my week.
Yeah.
Okay.
The weather did that.
Up next, we got Jason, Typho, and Carl in the three-way tie with 5.
Mm-hmm.
I've lost my mind.
I thought I did.
Josh sitting pretty by himself in second with 5.5.
Another second / third place finish, depending if you count first place ties from the last pay-per-view.
No.
Mm-mm.
So, second top 3 in a row. Not bad.
And the winner, and new NAWC Featherweight Champion with 6.5, Nikki!
Congratulations,
thank you
really?
So much.
Wow.
By the way, I'm wondering about that, Nikki. Should we talk about that after the show, about when you plan on doing the next one?
I thought we had the 21st put down.
You did the 21st. Okay.
21st
that works.
21st
August.
August, Ladies Night 2.
Yes.
Which will be myself, probably Trista Simpson, and newcomer Chelsea Hulk.
Good for you. Good.
Oh, nice.
Awesome.
I'll definitely listen in to that one. Because I actually know who all three are. Trista, Chelsea, me, possible threesome? I don't know.
No.
And we're once again nailing in all our pick-ems.
No, 21st? Oh, crap, SummerSlam. That is an important pay-per-view. Yeah.
I did it again, didn't I?
Yeah, so let's talk about the big news story of the week.
Yes.
And it's not Kendrick being released or Larry Sweeney getting help. Sorry, Josh. We'll talk about that later on in the episode.
Boo this man. Boo!
Because the main important storyline that happened this week is TNA deciding that, our booking is kind of, and everything that's going on backstage is kind of stuck for the past 6 years. It's time to change it up a bit.
A spooking time.
Well, yeah.
I know this is the wrong sound, but to Dutch Mantel?
Yeah!
Yep. And
two words, thank God.
And also to Savio Vega. Do it again, please.
Yeah!
That is correct. Now, here's the interesting thing about this. According to PWInsider.com, Mantell was Jeff Jarrett's right-hand guy.
Yep.
Since he came into the company in 2003. Which means maybe Jeff is gone too. What do you think?
I say he'll keep his 25% because that's how much he's got left in the company. The rest is Panda Energy.
Yeah.
Right.
28, but whatever.
No, it's 25% as reported by ProWrestling.net, who pretty much rips their info by PW Insider. It's still hot out here, so my brain's not 100% functioning. My theory is there is a list that has been produced that trying to decipher who will be going pretty soon. If you guys don't mind me bringing up this list.
Go
go ahead, because we all, and also there are other people in creative that we should mention. Of course, Vince Russo, Jeremy Borash, which I really didn't understand, to be honest.
Borash?
Yeah,
what?
Borash. Borash is a member of creative.
Yeah, no, I knew that, but got lost.
Okay, I'm going to bring up a couple of names. You tell me if you guys think they're going to probably be staying or going. Ready?
Okay.
Go.
And this is from the PW Torch newsletter.
Oh, well, okay, so PW Torch, so that's a pretty reliable place.
Okay, here's what they say, and I'm going to open up to you guys. Vince Russo, controversial TNA booker, has been telling people he fears for his job and believes TNA president Dixie Carter is on the verge of making major changes. Way to be a mind reader, Vince. There's plenty of speculation that anyone being perceived as one of Jeff's guys is on the bubble right now. However, there are sources within the company who feel Russo will stick around while Jarrett's other cronies, like Dutch Mantel, may not be so lucky. Way to read the future, PW Torch.
When was this, by the way, released?
The 29th.
That was Wednesday.
Wednesday, and we found out today that
Mantel and Vega are gone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, Vince Russo, do you think he's staying or do you think he's going? Jason?
I would love to say that he's going, but I really think he's going to stay. I just don't see him going. Because if he goes, then they admit he's a mistake, you know, that everything's a mistake, and then basically they admit they're in trouble.
PRM?
As much as I agree with Jason, as much as I would like to see him go after that craptastic impact last week, I have to say that he is, I think, I don't know who else is on the creative team, but he is the only really experienced booker I think they have now. So I think just for the sake of being able to make a semi-decent schedule for anything, he's got to stay.
Step boy?
To be honest, I see this as a coin flip, but from what I've just heard, I would say that, Vince is going to probably stay with TNA. Otherwise, I got nothing else.
Yeah. Apple?
Oh, sorry. I think Vince Russo will stay.
Put down the baby oil and put down Madison Rain.
I'm telling Dave Chris.
I'm sorry, I'll be right back. Okay. I do think Vince Russo will stay because he's taken a lot of heat, of course, over the years. But since his arrival in TNA, well, I guess his latest arrival, most of the stuff that fans have bashed has been a lot of Dutch Mantel book stuff, but they attach Russo to it, like that Sting Abyss match or whatever it was called where they had to raise the other one up and they had the huge Fire Russo chant. That was Dutch Mantel booked. Vince Russo has a track record, and Dixie Carter knows that. He was at the forefront of the biggest era in wrestling, and that is why he will stay. Yes, he's done some bad stuff, but he can produce some good occasionally.
Carl?
Unfortunately, I got to agree with all of you. As much as I like him to go, he's going to end up staying.
And I saved you for last, Nikki, because I know your feelings on this.
If it were me, he would still be gone because you still have veterans back there like Terry Taylor and Raven who can take care of this kind of business. Russo's forte is character development. If Dixie wants to keep him, she better tell him, start giving these people personalities. Otherwise, I would like him as far away from the wrestling business as possible.
Does Sting still does his TVN show?
Sorry?
I don't know if Sting still does his Trinity Broadcasting show every now and then.
I don't know.
You don't know?
Who's that?
I don't know. I don't get
TVN. All right, moving on. Okay. Guess I just think that made for a decent talk show. You know, you had Vince Russo as the sidekick and Sting as the main guy. Interesting, though, but it'd probably stink. Here we go. Here's the next one. Jeremy Borash. Borash is also tight with Jarrett, but the feelings they do to his solid work ethic and likable personality, he will, his job isn't at any risk at all. Agree?
Absolutely. He is he's the voice of TNA, especially on the internet side. He has been tweeting all over the place, and he is their internet presence. No way does he go.
He ain't going nowhere.
No, just his internet experience alone. His internet experience alone is going to get him to keep his job. He's also a decent personality on TV, and he's kind of their Michael Cole. He can be used as a whipping boy as necessary.
Insulting Jeremy Borash because, unlike Michael Cole, Jeremy Borash has talent.
And Mr. Furley Eye.
Yes, and Mr. Furley Eyes, if you know the tweet. Yes, very good stuff. Yes,
the tweet and tweak connection, as it's probably stated.
Yes. So okay. So who's next?
Terry Taylor is next. TNA head of talent relationship job seems to be secure. He's butted heads with Jarrett many times and gained the respect of many within the company by finalizing contracts with several top talents within the last 6 months. If anything, Taylor could actually gain power if Jarrett doesn't return. Thoughts?
Yeah, I agree with that. As Nikki said, Taylor's a veteran who knows what the heck is going on and will probably take a lot of Mantell's responsibilities, I think. You agree, Nikki?
I agree because, as I said previously, even the book, the man's been in the business for 20-plus years. He's done the good end and the bad end with Mr. Red Rooster. And I'm sorry,
it could be worse. I found a gimmick worse than the Red Rooster.
The small-dressed man, Terrence Taylor?
Yeah.
Well, anyway... Poor Terry has been destroyed by bad gimmicks, so he might have an idea of what works and what doesn't. He's not going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, rule number one, don't name anybody after a gigantic cock. Oops.
Oh, no!
The Johnson from TNA?
Will not be back.
No, Johnson's not back in TNA, at least I don't think. Next up, this is a good one. Scott D'Amore, the former TNA creative member, is believed to be on good terms with the company, but still wouldn't get serious consideration from Dixie for the head creative position if Jeff doesn't return. He might be considered for, you know, a creative position, but not the head position. So the question, ladies and gentlemen, is, what do you do with Scott D'Amore? Put him back on TV?
You put him back on TV, and you also actually put him more in the book, because D'Amore's booking was actually more interesting than, say, Mantell's was.
If Dixie needs more convincing, she needs to go look at his Border City work.
Oh, that's
he's
good
the head
work.
He's the head of Border City Wrestling. He does a bang-up job up there. I think she needs to go buy some of his DVDs and then make up her mind.
Yeah, she might who knows, this might actually get some certain wrestlers back in the field, like maybe Petey Williams and Tyson.
A1? Wait, that may not
Stop
be
that.
Such a good thing.
No.
As long as he doesn't push Gerelda on us again.
Petey Rock, stop that.
Next. Ooh, this is a good one. Pat Kenny, a.k.a. Simon Diamond. The former TNA agent's name continues to come up in discussion as a candidate for a bigger role in the company. Kenny is a favorite of Dixie Carter's, and many were shocked when she allowed him to be released. Does he come back?
I'd love to see it. I'd love to see it, because Kenny's a smart guy. Simon Diamond, Simon Says, Simon whatever, smart guy. Worked with him a couple of times. Pat Kenny should be back there. Should be again.
I've met him at a couple of the fan fests, and if anything, you know, if they're not going to use him to book, if they're not going to use him for talent relations, Give him a microphone. Give him something to do.
I remember I got a Simon Diamond memory, a great one. Remember back in April 2006?
Okay.
They still had that hour-long show, and everything was still frantically paced because this was this is what I call BR before Russo.
Okay.
They had this little thing with the Chicago White Sox when Simon Diamond went down there and tried out, as it were. He had a pretty good outing. The White Sox said, "You're a great athlete, but your attitude sucks." So Simon Diamond went off on him. And then at the tail end, we had Jay Mariotti's favorite coach, Ozzie Guillen, blast him in the back with a steel chair, prompting this line: "Any 5-year-old with an iPod could edit that footage." Prompting Mike today to say, "iPod? You mean a Photoshop? You mean Photoshop, genius?" And then he promptly runs for his life because Scott Steiner comes out. Oh, crap. I'm out of here.
That dude did give us the return of Dale Torborg to the wrestling world.
Thank you, Demon.
Hey, Demon.
Yes. So who's next?
Somebody that none of you will probably know. Matt Conway. No, Typho, he is not a brother to Rob.
Who is he?
So we shouldn't just look at him?
Yeah. The low-profile creative team member is believed to be the only booker who isn't on the bubble right now. Carter added him to the team to serve as our eyes and ears, and he ended up being friends with the other bookers. Good man. He's in his 20s, and most of the office feels that he has a better pulse on the target demographic than anyone else on the team. Does he get a cookie?
I guess.
And some hot chocolate.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, you know.
Okay.
What does he do?
Yeah, exactly.
Does he have a specific role?
Yes,
he's
Matt.
A creative team member. And he's a Dixie spy.
A yes man with good ears.
So
yeah.
He'll probably be head of creative now or something.
Oh, it can't all be bad. If you have him being trained by Terry Taylor, Vince Russo, and, you know, Scott D'Amore, he should be okay. Next up.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, this one's going to be fun.
Why'd you turn the fan off?
Don West. Despite the recent change performance, many company sources believe his days as a color commentator are numbered. Dixie isn't high on West, who is a friend of Jarrett. And the assumption is that Taz will take over his position sometime sooner than later, causing problems for another potential storyline. However, there is still interest in using West as a backstage pitch man, mainly for those wonderful TNA videos that we see on YouTube. Only 75 of them left!
Mm-hmm. Well, go ahead, you first. You interrupted Nikki.
I know, I was just giving the setup. Does he stay or go?
To be honest, if they've got Taz, once he finishes up whatever he's going to do with Joe, I think you should put West in the Kasahajime and say, get the F off my show.
Yeah, there you go.
And I'd also like to say that if they're considering getting rid of Don West, I will have a resume disc on the way.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll just put it to you guys this way, because I've told this story before. I've been to the Impact Zone once. And I watched as Don West and Mike Tenay were preparing to do a stand-up on the ramp. So I casually leaned over the guardrail and yelled, "Hey, Don West, it's you've gotta be kidding me." To which he folded up his notes, put him in his pocket, and walked away. Tenay liked this.
Well, that's because Tenay is one of us.
That's right.
Yeah, I agree with Nikki's theory.
Taz will be behind the microphone, I will guess, between September and October.
I guess after Bound for Glory.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Can I chime in here?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, you got my IM?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, a couple of years ago, before all TNA came about, there was a little shopping network called Shop at Home, and of course, Don West was one of the pitchmen on air.
I've actually watched many of his clips.
Yeah, so appropriately, I think Don West is on his way out, and a certain guy, hi Steve, Steve Bryant, Dixie should follow what Steve did, and Rob. Yeah! Bye-bye.
Right if you get worse?
I don't know.
No, technically, I don't think Taz even has to drop what he's currently doing, because, I mean, he was, if I remember correctly, he was the voice of the Alliance on SmackDown during the invasion, while Paul was the voice for Raw. So, why can't he be the voice for the Mafia? He'd certainly do a hell of a better job than Don West is trying to do.
Well, that's because Don West is too busy getting some favors from the beautiful people. Or is that Mark
Slick
Johnson? Oh, yeah, it was Slick.
Slick Johnson.
Who cares? Oh, here's a good one that the PW Torch guys mentioned. Christian.
What?
What?
Listen.
Huh?
Let me explain.
I believe he's busy.
Yeah.
I know, but just
yeah.
Listen to what. Well, it's a moot point now. People close to Chris should say that if Jarrett had been removed from power earlier, Christian may have never left TNA and would have never, that means never would have returned to the WWE.
Okay. There is no way. And the block means no way that Christian is going back to TNA after what the hell happened to him the first time.
Yeah.
He should still be in TNA as
yeah.
a main eventer. You know it, and I know it.
Yep.
But he got fucked royally. Sorry.
Understatement?
Yeah, understatement of the year there. Let's move on, okay?
Mm.
And with the time remaining, I'm going to announce that Room 101 will be preempted again to next week.
Damn it.
And we go to another let's go to a feel-good storyline. Shall we, Stat Boy?
Huh? Lindsay, what now?
Your story that you broke on the Chikara boards.
Ah, yes. I didn't break it, per se. It was actually broken via Chris Hero's Twitter, as well as from Dan Loth, the owner and proprietor of Chikara Fans Boards. Larry Sweeney is back, and not crazy anymore. See, in the last month, he got into a rehab facility. He checked out, I believe, just yesterday or the day before, and according to Chris Hero, he sounds like he's back to his normal self, and he's on his meds again. Thank
Good boy.
God.
Good boy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad. No, all joking aside, if he's getting help, good for him. Seriously.
Yes, he is.
Yeah,
It's also should be noted that his big rambling that he had on YouTube, he has taken those down, I do believe.
Yep, that is correct.
Well, look, if he's on his meds, let's hope and pray that he is still getting help. You know?
He is. I hope.
I hope so, too, because what I've met him, he's a good guy, and actually, this is a little close to home for me, so, dude, I'm with you. You get your head on straight. Lord knows I had
mm-hmm.
to do it.
All right, let's move on to, hold on here, I got to fill out the Scrabble board. H-A-Q-T- S-I-C. Shacktastic. 27 points.
How did you get all those cues?
Don't worry about it.
My
turn. S-H-A-Q-U-S. Shactus.
Okay.
All right.
Is that even a word? Unless
yeah.
you said something very rude to a cactus.
Don't worry about it.
Not Dan Pelt is unimpressed.
You know, honestly, though, Shaq was having fun.
It was fun.
Yeah.
The best part was, though, of course, the opening promo.
Christina, and he kisses him. He kisses Chris Jericho on the forehead, and Chris Jericho, did you see the cross-eyed roll he gave?
Mm-hmm.
I did enjoy Shaq grabbing the Kobe Bryant sign when he was walking out to the ring.
Ah, you caught that too.
That was beautiful, yes. See, he's a fan. He knows how to get things over. That's what I liked about it.
Mm-hmm.
What I didn't like was the booking. Yet again.
Hold on. Gotta get the music. Because I know where you're going with this.
Thank you. Yet again, we have Cena versus Orton at SummerSlam. Cut the music, please.
Yes.
Okay. There was a study done, and I will agree with some of what Nikki has said to me after I explained her this, okay? A couple of people have done some statistics. According to someone, since Randy Orton won the belt in SummerSlam 04, some combination of Randy Orton, John Cena, and Triple H have wrestled with each other 24 times. Cena Orton SummerSlam will be the 25th. Then we have this. Even worse is that in a time frame in 51 events, with at least two of them on the TV, two of them on the pay-per-view, and some combination of three, wrestled 28 times in those 51 pay-per-views. Even worse, we're all tired of the combination that since SummerSlam 07, there have been 26 eligible pay-per-views with 17 matches involving the threesome. Now, if you add Shawn Michaels and Batista to the mix, some mixture of Cena, Orton, Triple H, Shawn Michaels, and Batista have wrestled and main evented on 44 of those 51 shows. Now, Nikki, you are 100% correct. If Chris Benoit and or Eddie Guerrero would be in the mix, may they rest in peace, they'd be in the main event mix too. If Kurt Angle was in the picture, he'd be in there too. But yes, I believe it is repetitive. If you want to kill me on this, let me know.
I'm not going to kill you, Jason. I just think it is blown out of proportion. And the fact that there are a lot of this is also circumstance. And you've already mentioned two of those prospects, Eddie and Benoit.
Right.
Batista and Edge have also been a part of this main event mix. Their problem has been injury issues. Kurt Angle, Bobby Lashley, and Brock Lesnar were also brought up to alleviate this, but all had since left the company. There have been whispers that Christian, and one of the reasons he let his contract run out in the WWE, was the fact that he was main event ready, but nobody in the office would pull the trigger. Booker T falls in the same direction as Kurt Angle. Rey Mysterio, I will get shot from 15 different sides that he doesn't belong in the main event just because he happens to be shorter than me.
No. Oh, no. I think Rey Mysterio should have been in the mix, but he was booked the same way CM Punk was in his first title run.
Unfortunately, without the legacy of Eddie Guerrero, Rey Mysterio will never sniff the main event again. Kane is damaged goods, and I would love to see him in the mix. If
I think there are rumors that Kane's done after this year.
Well, let me ask you this. what would you do to solve the repetitive nature of it?
See, John Morrison's main event ready, so I'd bump him up, but he's on SmackDown, so
no,
you're talking about Raw Super...
On the Raw picture. Seriously.
The Raw picture?
Yes.
Well, you have Mark Henry.
Right. You have Jack Swagger. You have Evan Bourne. Right.
Evan Bourne's not ready yet.
He needs a lower
belt first, then he could jump up. Kingston is ready.
I think Kingston is almost ready. Give him
MVP is ready.
MVP is just about ready. Kingston's almost ready. Evan Bourne, yes, needs a B belt. Mark Henry, if he can stay healthy because he falls under the Batista and Edge umbrella. Oh, that's another name that I forgot to put in there. Kennedy. Kennedy fucked it all up.
Okay.
Between
Kennedy is Glass Joe.
Right, but he also has a big mouth in the wrong way.
Yeah.
If he kept his mouth shut, I bet he'd still have a job.
Yep.
They played around with Bob Holly, and I know nobody wanted to see him in the main event.
Ugh.
Okay, that's how I feel about Mark Henry being in the main event. I don't think he belongs there because they tried that, and there's only so much you can push a broken bus before people get off. And
right.
They tried that on SmackDown, and it didn't work, and it still doesn't work. I'm glad he's face now. That's cool. Go dig up his 2001 Pumping Iron music. But
right, but what I'm just saying is, why do you think it got so repetitive?
Money.
John Cena,
Randy Orton, and Triple H put butts in the seats. Ditto for Shawn Michaels. Jeff Hardy puts a lot of butts in the seats, and that's why they're doing their damnedest to keep him.
Yeah.
See him? Edge puts butts in seats. Chris,
and
I would say Chris Jericho and Big Show put butts in seats because people hate them, but they're tied up right now.
Yes, and Chris Jericho did try to alleviate this title picture. He's had the belt a couple of times in the last couple of years. But there's also a pivotal matchup, and I discussed this with Jason. Chris Jericho and Triple H just don't seem to cross paths. What is that?
I don't know.
I don't believe they really get along.
And
from what I've heard.
Okay. I've also noticed that if you look at their... When they do cross paths, Jericho will be on the losing end, period. I don't think Jericho has ever beaten Triple H.
No,
he has not. Okay, I wouldn't mind seeing Jericho mix it up again with Michaels. I wouldn't mind, you know, if Punk was still faced, Punk and Jericho would be kind of fun.
However, to be honest, that'd make a great tag team, Punk and Jericho.
Yes. That would have been another possibility. You guys were talking about Jack Swagger. I think you could make a believable champion out of him. At least I know I would be there to hope that somebody would take the belt off of him. But Mark Henry, no. I will not endorse that. After repetitive injuries, including one during a match with Rey Mysterio, the cage door incident that was thankfully edited on a SmackDown.
What, Mark Henry?
Yes. Where he spent live, they said it was like 6 or 7 minutes trying to
rip the door off.
Awesome spot, yeah, that awesome spot of ripping the door off the hinges. And they edited most of it out.
There was a video on YouTube of the full process.
So
you still don't think Henry's ready?
I never said he wasn't ready. I just said he doesn't belong there, and you shouldn't put him there just because it's different.
I put him there because he got a
face pop from him.
Yeah.
I wouldn't watch it.
Okay.
That would be my piss break. And if I'm taking, if I'm in the bathroom during your main event, you're doing it wrong.
Okay. Let's move on a little bit to what will probably be the last news story that we talk about this week. We have, well, we had another one of these. The Brian Kendrick got the future endeavored.
A man without a plan.
Well, he had a plan and it failed miserably.
Well, I heard. Yeah. I heard the reason why. There's two reasons why he got fired.
He was rocking the ganj.
Well, that was one of them. I was going to say he was into herbs, but that's beside the point. And the second one, he was really, what's the word I'm looking for? He was really had a bad attitude backstage.
That's what you call living the gimmick.
Pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
His phone will be ringing once his 90 days up, though. Ring of Honor would love to have him. Japan would love to have him. There's plenty of people out there that would be happy to have the Brian Kendrick in their fold, and they'd probably treat him a little bit better because he'd be playing with people his own size.
He could be a new member of the Main Event Mafia. He was WWE champion for about 7 minutes. Longest in Scramble history.
Oh, joy, melodious rapture. But, yeah, you know what, though? This was potential lost. I mean, you know, I just wish that he didn't have the attitude or he didn't play the Rob Van Dam bit, but he could have been a lot better, to be honest.
He could have at least gotten the U.S. or Intercontinental title.
Yes. He was B-belt material. He was definitely B-belt material.
Which makes me kind of miss the old days. Remember back in the old days, you had guys that admitted there weren't that many belts as there were. But remember back in 91, you had all these great guys who could be your Intercontinental Champion, like the model Rick Martel. You had Mr. Perfect, who was your Intercontinental Champion for the longest time. You had Bret Hart, who became the Intercontinental Champion. British Bulldog came back, became Intercontinental Champion in 92. Big Boss Man could have had an Intercontinental title run.
The Mountie could have had a longer Intercontinental run.
All of 2 days.
I'm not kidding.
Oh, he could have.
Yeah.
But at least we got Piper having the belt.
Where was Skinner's Intercontinental title run?
Never happening.
But no, but seriously, though, Kendrick will be missed to a point. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
To a point.
But remember the epic storyline where he tried to find the perfect tag team partner?
Yes.
Oh, that was a great one. It involved him losing to Hornswoggle.
I think my fondest Brian Kendrick moment will be in his first go-around in WWE when Sean O'Hare got to streak.
That was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't telling him anything he didn't already know.
Yeah.
And I miss Sean O'Hare, but that's just me.
Well, he's now slumming it up in MMA, I do believe.
I've seen some pictures. Go ahead.
Speaking of MMA, we have the preliminary buy rates from 100.
Oh, what is it? Is it what they said or more?
1.5 plus.
Whoa.
Oh! Wow!
As Dana White says, "Eat me, Vince. Eat me. Try to beat that." And with that said, let's end the show.
Wait! Update: 1.72 plus.
Where's this?
Whoa!
Where is this from?
This is from Brian Alvarez.
Figure Four Weekly. Figure Four Weekly / Observer. Good night, everybody. See you next week.
Yep.
Night.
Yeah.
Night.
1.72 million?
Oh, wow.
That blows WWE's stuff out of the water.
They made
Good
out
night.
Like a bandit.
Yeah.
Let's see. $50 for a pay-per-view, 1.72. That's close.
What was it? No, it's 45, isn't it?
45.
So let's say 50, just for...
Hold on, I got a calculator.
So don't I.
44.95 times 1.72
million. 1,172 zeros, .000, yes.
77,314,000, and that's without the gate.
Ka-ching.
Which is another 5.1 million.
So that's 80 million. So
holy shit.
So let's say. So you think Mr. Lesnar got a percentage of that gross there?
Yes, he got about 400,000.
Every one of them did.
So yeah. I'm thinking Mr. Lesnar's figures went into the 7-figure range.
Yeah, safely.
I really do believe that.
I think he's going to go get a new tractor for that farm.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Okay. So why do you think, I mean, we all knew it was going to be big. But
we didn't know it was going to be this big.
Why?
Yeah.
I mean, it was a fight everybody wanted to see. Actually, Nikki, you could say it best. Your uncle was right. Yet again.
She's not here.
Nikki left?
Yeah. I think her battery died.
Aww.
Okay.
Damn it.
But because Lesnar is the guy people pay to see. You know?
Uh-huh.
People want to see him get his ass kicked. You know?
Yeah.
And with Affliction going by the wayside, right?
And we can all blame Barnett for that.
Who? Well, yeah, Josh Barnett. Who failed the piss test, correct?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. So let's say the rumor is that Fedor is coming in. True? Is that right?
Yeah, that's the rumor.
They're working on it.
Yeah.
But can you imagine a match, say, early next year of Lesnar Fedor?
$2 million.
Yeah.
Easy.
Yeah.
I say
$100 million on pay-per-views. Think about it.
$100 million? Yeah. $100 million. The first $100 million MMA fight on pay-per-view.
Yep.
Yep. That's it.
And
yeah.
I think that will beat the record. I believe.
Yeah.
I think that might get the most pay-per-view buys of all time.
What's
the
most?
I think the record is Mayweather.
Right?
Fights.
No, I'm telling you this. If you get Fedor Lesnar in MMA, you will break $2 million easily.
Yeah.
Easily.
By the way, Rob, what is the record?
I think it's
2.14 with
2.4. De La Hoya Mayweather was 2.4.
Oh, wow. It may threaten it. That's huge. Freaking huge.
There's also another piece of MMA news this week that... Or was it last week? That Tito Ortiz has reconciled with the UFC.
Yep, I heard about that
this
week breaking news.
And Vitor Belfort will be coming too.
I mean, if UFC wasn't strong now, they're getting people who were stars coming back.
Yeah. Because pretty much they're the only game in town now.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, exactly. And but the thing is, I think Dana White knows what Vince McMahon did. You know, they know that there is competition out there. WEC is legit competition. You know?
Wreckage?
Yeah, Wreckage K, yeah. WEC. I think so.
I thought that went out of business.
WEC?
Yeah, WEC.
No, WEC is UFC's minor league, I guess you could say.
Oh, okay.
They're owned by
Zuffa.
So this is kind of interesting because let's call Wreckage pretty much the developmental for UFC. That's pretty cool in a way that you have a nationwide deal of Wreckage and you have UFC on Spike. You have two big male-driven networks watching your shows. That's big.
Of course it is.
Let's see here. I think that should do it for this week.
Pretty much.
We have
all right. Next week. I'm out.
All right. Good night, everybody. All see you next week.
Night.
Good night, Rob. See you in sooner or later.
All right. See you in purgatory.
Purgatory.